Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
A very good afternoon to you once again. If you've just tuned in, it is Thursday's edition of Heart to Heart. And because I keep my promises, guess who's here? It is none other than Pastor Dr. Julius Vango joining me once again this afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm good, Luca. It was quite a long but restful weekend.
Yeah?
I'm
glad you rested. Yeah, you're always busy.
Sometimes really on the road. And this time out of Gauteng, went to Limpopo. Had a very special conference with Ignite. I'm part of the board of directors of Campus Crusade for Christ. So I think we had a great time. And it was a unique opportunity. We had time to reach out to marketplace leaders.
Wow.
Yeah, and definitely we had the privilege to have the deputy mayor of Cape Town.
Wow.
Part of that. And so we're trying to create synergies, and I think that's a little bit of the area of strength and ministry that God has called me. If you read my book, Partnership Dynamics, I think it is all about creating synergies.
I need to read it.
Networks to see how to assist ministries. And I think that's where we're heading to see how people can come on board what you're doing here at Radio Pulpit and see how they could also be part of kingdom partners and see how they could transform the broader audience that you've been reaching for the past, I think, more than 40 years. More than 40 years. So I think that's just what we're doing out there.
I love to hear it. This conversation will continue off air, actually.
It will.
So what are we talking about today?
I think I just heard your jingle talking about the Ascension Day, which will be coming up. And I think within still the spirit of the resurrection, but talking today much more, I think, just on that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but focusing on, I just believe the last verse is a long chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but I think my proclivity today will be to have an exegesis on verse 58, which says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast." Another translation will say stand firm.
Stand firm.
Stand firm, and it says stand firm, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. And I want to believe that even for someone today, that your labor is not in vain. You're walking in church, your labor is not in vain. You're in the vineyard of God. Pastor, please, your labor is not in vain. I know I'm talking maybe today to some pastors who've been going through a very tough time in ministry. Why not even Mama Ruti?
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes, you know, pastor has a limelight. He has really the exposure, but you might not know what the wife might be going through in the background.
True.
And I use this moment, seize this opportunity to really also empathize with a lot of pastors' wife who are in the background and doing a lot of work and not recognized, but heaven recognizes you. And that's why this verse comes to you today to say your work is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Are you is heading the intercessory ministry of your church? I don't know to whom I'm talking to.
True.
Are you spending time to pray, to fast, for conferences, for events happening in church? Your labor is not in vain. You who is heading the youth ministry. You're heading the youth ministry in church. It's difficult to mobilize those young people.
Listen.
It's a difficult task.
Listen, you're dealing with characters and personalities.
It's a difficult task to get them all together and really get a solid commitment. Very undulating in their commitment. But I've come to tell you also, your labor is not in vain.
Man.
You is heading maybe the women's group of the church. You're heading the men's ministry of the church, or the children's ministry even of the church. It gets hectic again. Your work is not in vain. Or I'm talking to a secretary in the church now. You're doing a lot of admin work. I just want to say your work and your labor is not in vain. Can I speak to the ushers now?
Yeah.
Can I speak?
The most disrespected within the serving ministry.
Sometimes really undermined people. Yeah. But these are the first pastors you meet at the door before you meet the real pastor.
True.
So I want to celebrate the ushers in our churches and really tell them that your work is not in vain. And those who clean up the church, those who just tidy the church, share maybe a story to you local. One of my friends had an insight. I didn't call it maybe an epiphany, where God just ministered to him that you've been coming to church, but I want you to start cleaning the pews. Clean the pulpit, clean the church before people come. Come as early as possible. Just clean up the place, get it tidy. And he thought it was a joke, and he just started. And the pastor said, "What are you doing?" He just said, "I just feel like, Pastor, please just allow me to clean up the church. I know there might be people paid for this, but I just feel, you know." He didn't share so much details with the pastor, but came very committed and very devotedly, came each Sunday early enough to clean up whatever needed to be cleaned. And within a year,
he did it diligently for a year.
God blessed him with such a big contract. I'm telling you, he's living now in Waterkloof, for those who know Waterkloof. and it touched me tremendously. And I came back to this verse to realize that God really honors our labor of love. If you get committed to what you're doing, not in eye service to men, you realize that, because the reality about it is that if you take our public space, if you take our private spaces, we're so much driven into productivity and performance. And sometimes even as Christians, we want to satisfy people, realizing that either you're working in public service — I'm talking to somebody now who is working with government — or you're working with private. You're doing all of that as unto the Lord. You're not doing it as to please men, but everything you do, let Christ be at the very center of what you're doing. You've gotten me start today with great illustrations, but when you preach expositorily, I think that's the dynamics of preaching that you definitely could pick up from an illustration, sometimes applications even before you get into your explanation. And I think I'm driven much more so much to start maybe with another illustration. There's a story told of this guy was cleaning one of the streets of New York. He cleaned the streets so neat and so tidy. Got up every morning with a full dedication to clean his street, because there were other cleaners around, so everybody had their street to clean.
You know what I'm picking up? They somehow it's as if the Lord is leading them to jobs or things that are less regarded in the space. Cleaning.
Who wants to just clean? And this guy gets up early morning and starts cleaning streets and gets his street very tidy, very clean. And over the years, he wins awards of the cleanest street. In New York. And his streets really gets clean, and he cleans it. And one journalist approached him on one occasion and asked him the question, "But look, what's your greatest motivation? Seeing every year we're getting ready that you're going to win a prize because you're getting the cleanest street year in, year out." And do you know what he told the journalist? He said, "Every day I get up and I clean my street because I expect Jesus to walk on my street one day."
And he must find it clean.
So the greatest motivation for all what you're doing is Jesus. He should be the one.
I'm awestruck.
He should be your greatest motivation. So I've come to share today on the subject for us to get back into good Baptist principle. Because somebody will ask me, "Do you have a sermon title or a topic?" I do have a title.
I'm going to tell you, Upu Jack, who is basically our podcaster, is going to be so happy with you.
Is it?
Title. We were talking about this yesterday.
Definitely.
Makes it easier for me to podcast the message.
Definitely. We have a title, and we always say within your title, you must have a point, because definitely someone without point is pointless. Greetings. So I'm encouraging someone to stand firm in the light of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Stand firm, therefore, brethren, Stand firm, therefore, brethren, stand firm, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor,
it's not in vain.
Oh, local, your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Yeah.
Because the qualification is that this labor is in the Lord. Whatever you do with the justification that you're doing it for kingdom purpose is not in vain.
Sure.
And so maybe I've come to also encourage you and to encourage myself.
Yep.
Come on, you understand.
Because we get tired along the
way.
We get there.
We have this human frailty, and we're still living in a world which is very demanding, very consuming, and we sometimes I wouldn't hide this to you because I've read God's generals and I've heard many times even Charles Spurgeon, he was the Prince of Preachers, he was called. On many occasions, Charles Spurgeon went through very tough times and just to use the word depressive moments in his life. And you wouldn't understand somebody who could preach to a crowd of 10,000 people. God blessed him really with the ability to be able to communicate. But yet he went through very difficult times. But we even have Elijah in the Bible. After the episode with Jezebel, we went through tough times. So I'm just sharing this with you, my sister. You're going through tough times, maybe somewhere out there. And I've just come to share with you, stand firm.
Yeah.
Stand firm.
You're such a godsend. As you're talking, I'm just reminded we were actually talking about something similar just yesterday with Sis Enika. And we're talking about how, you know, you go through so much, you end up asking God, until when? Like, when do we catch a break? You know, it almost just it feels as if it's not coming to an end. The struggles are just not coming to an end.
Yeah.
But the encouragement, just stand firm.
Just stand firm. Mm. And sometimes it seems to be so compounded, you know, because you seem to be praying because the recommendation, the advice you always have is to pray.
To pray, yeah.
You know, and sometimes I usually tell people that's so easy to say
than to put into action.
Than to do. but the reality is that, you know, you got people so innocent in their very admonition. They'll tell you to pray. They'll tell you to read your Bible. But I want to confess to you that there are moments, even in the lives of Christians, where you don't feel like really praying. And praying, I mean, sometimes praying aloud, so please, you are permitted to pray in your heart.
Yeah.
You can pray silently. I'm not of those who just think that you always have to pray loud. No, but I believe that you can pray also silently in your heart, because God hears us even before we utter the words. So sometimes the greatest prayers are the silent prayers that we make, and we just grieve, mourn, wail, cry out to God, internalize our very challenges, and God hears us. And that's why I've come today, to encourage someone. I don't know why I've come with this message, but I think God gave me this message first. Because, you know, we always say as preachers, the message must preach to you before you preach to the people.
Yep, definitely.
It must be able to get a wake-up call, you know, a clarion call unto you before it gets to the people. But let's get back to context. And the context here is 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, which is one of the most celebrated chapters around the resurrection. But if we get to verse 58, which encourages us to stand firm, is by virtue of the very pre-text that we have here. There is a lot that follows before 58, verse 58. And already we realize, I shared this word already with you and local and the audience and the listeners. I said, number one, that the resurrection empowers our preaching.
Yep.
It empowers our preaching. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14a, because again, the Apostle Paul makes the argument that if ever he had not risen, then our preaching would be in vain. So it empowers the three P's. It empowers our preaching, it mm-hmm. empowers our practice, mm-hmm. and it empowers our profession of faith. We stand bold to say, come what may, I'll definitely stand. And that's why I derived a topic from that very last portion of our profession of faith. And when I read verse 58, it resonated with that last part very succinctly. But Apostle Paul makes an argument, and permit me get back to my court of law.
I'm waiting for that one.
Will you permit me get back to my court of law, because my legal side always kicks in when I'm preaching.
Are we going back to our lawyer loco?
Oh yeah, we're getting back to, you know, I was at a gym this morning and I was just thinking of you when I had Alfred Loco in mind, and I was saying, but maybe Loco has some advocate genes in her.
Who knows?
You know,
yes, Lord.
She has some
Lord.
Legal genes in her.
Come on.
She needs to explore that, you
definitely,
know.
Definitely. Edit.
So
edit.
I just believe that there's some strong advocacy in you. Permit me say it.
Thank you.
Let nobody take this as prophecy. But I just believe it's just word of knowledge that God is giving me that I should share with you. That in fact, I believe that God is using you to be the voice of the voiceless. And maybe sometime God is going to, from
in the court of law,
Radio Pulpit giving you the platform and many other platforms, which definitely, but seem you can't hide away from the mic and the mic can't hide away from you.
Listen.
I'm getting there. So we're getting back into the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul makes a very strong argument. If you want to win a case, you know, 101 in law, if you want to win a case in a court of law, there are two key elements which I would definitely recommend you to do. And I'm giving you the very simplest way for you to prepare yourself in a court of law. The first is that you need a body of evidence.
Okay.
You need a body of evidence. And what do I mean, a body of evidence? When you're preparing, especially either a civil or a criminal case, and permit me, I'm really in the space of law now, the resurrection is within a context of what we call a criminal argument.
Yes.
Because it involved the state, that was the Roman Empire, and they were there to also make sure that Christ did not rise from the dead. And so it was a huge claim to say that Christ indeed
had risen.
So it qualified as a criminal claim. And so you need it on criminal cases. You always need to prove beyond
reasonable doubt.
Okay, I told you, the lawyer is here. So you need to prove beyond reasonable doubt, which means you need compelling, overwhelming evidence in the light of what Sir Alfred Loco said. You need to prove your case with very, very strong evidence. And by evidence, you know, if you study the law of evidence, I'm really getting into a law lecture now. If you study the law of evidence, you have what we call documentary evidence. You have what we call first-hand eyewitnesses. And so the Apostle Paul presents to us a body of evidence.
All right.
So number one, you need a body of evidence. And how do we get a body of evidence? If you read from verse 3 even, from the very beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand, because that's what you hold firm to.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get back there. By which also you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. Listen to this. I declare, I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to Scripture, and that he was seen. Okay, let's start the role of evidence. Look, I invite you to my courtroom, and definitely I think you're assisting me now as a defense attorney, because definitely government has prosecutors on the other side. And so we definitely stand now to support the claim that Christ indeed you know, rose from the grave. And listen to this. Number one, we have the evidence, which is corroborated, or permit me, I'm so much into law now, is supported by scripture, because we've seen it. Every element the Apostle Paul highlights, he gives support that it is based on scripture.
Yep.
It is based on scripture. According to scripture. Okay, let's give you the metaphor. Scripture, yeah, will represent our very legal instrument.
Okay.
It will represent our legal instrument. Okay, I'm getting somebody smiling because they're doing law. They're doing law somewhere. And permit me get you there. So we have a first evidence. We have first-hand evidence. The first-hand evidence of the resurrection is that he is seen by Cephas, Peter, and by the 12. See, we have now a number of witnesses coming.
Yeah.
So we have Cephas, we have the 12. Verse 6 says, after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren.
Eyewitnesses right there.
So you have first-hand eyewitnesses. Mm. And if you have to stand in front of a jury and defend a case with 500 or more witnesses,
that all whose witness all corroborates,
come on.
They're all speaking the same language.
All speaking the same language. So this evidence becomes, in the word of Sir Albert Lionel Loco, it becomes overwhelmingly compelling.
Mm.
Evidence. Mm-hmm. Permit me give you the words now. They are overwhelmingly compelling, and they are beyond reasonable doubt that you would have a floodgate of people stand to defend a claim.
Mm.
And they did not yet say. Because definitely, if you go into admissibility of evidence in the court of law, again, I'm taking you to the law of evidence. Yes, evidence is not admissible in the court of law. Mm-hmm. You have to be very careful. So first-hand witness evidence of this caliber, of this nature, of this propensity of people who first-hand witness saw him, it's overwhelming. So this is a body of evidence.
This is
a body of evidence that Apostle Paul is building around the claim and the case of Christ's resurrection. And so you have to, if you want to win a case in the court of law, make sure you have a body of
evidence. Do you know what I find interesting, though? That scripture was not written necessarily for it to be tested by the law.
Oh, yeah.
But that the evidence was presented before the law could be curious enough to say, we want to find out.
Come on. And I want to believe, and I agree with you, that definitely, you know, science comes to confirm, you know, divinity. Mm. It confirms the existence of God.
Mm.
And so legal opinion and legal... Okay, let me give you the second point. The first is that you need a body of
evidence.
Mm-hmm. Okay, write this down. If you want to win a case in a court of law, the second you need is a body of argument.
All right.
Okay.
Body of evidence, one. Two, body of argument.
Of argument.
Okay.
So the first is that you have a body of evidence, and definitely we could stretch out evidence, but here we have very strong evidence because we already have more than 500 people who attest to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And these are people who enter the court of law one after the other, and they just give the same story. I saw him. And definitely the jury sits there, and definitely prosecutors are asking, what's happening here? How come?
Because none of them is denying to have seen him. There's more than 500 and everybody's singing the same tune.
Everybody.
This man must have really risen.
Has the same evidence. And so we have the body of evidence, but you realize that we also have the body of arguments. And the body of arguments comes in when Paul starts highlighting now from the evidence. He highlights now the very crux of the matter of the resurrection. And he said, as Christ rose, so also those who believe in him rise. But you will not rise with this body. Your very corruptible will give way to incorruptible. And that's what happens. He gives an argument of the resurrection, which is also very overwhelming. And he said, the last enemy to be dealt with is death.
Definitely
death itself needs to be dealt with. And look, it's a wonderful argument. If you calm down, you will see what Apostle Paul is postulating escalating year, but the reality is that death is swallowed in victory, and all of that is in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So
Amen.
He solidifies and concretizes the very power of the resurrection.
Amen.
He places an argument alongside his evidence to submit a case which is strong, compelling, and overwhelming beyond any reasonable doubt. And he's submitting this. He's saying, by virtue of the body of evidence, by virtue of the body of arguments around the resurrection, verse 58 says, brethren, if you've heard this, stand firm,
because how can you not, when you have so much evidence,
when you have so much evidence, when you have so much arguments which buttresses your evidence,
you don't need to scratch your head. It's clear.
It's very clear. It's very clear. And you get to realize, he says, but the last enemy to be dealt with is death. But death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is a law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was going through a commentary, and this pastor was sharing. He said his daughter lives so much in fear of anything creeping.
Oh,
so she will be afraid of roaches, gecko. So anything creepy apart from human beings, you know. You so she would be afraid.
So if you're a creepy human, she's not afraid of you.
So she lived around her father, the pastor. So they shared the same neighborhood, and he said her fear for anything which creeped was so compounded that if she sees a roach in her house, she would call daddy, please come over. And time and again, he would step in and see how to assist her. But that on one occasion, they were sitting outside together, and a bee. So a bee came around where they were, and she picked up such a fright. She jumped and held daddy.
Into daddy.
She held onto daddy very strongly, that she nearly took off his breath because she was afraid.
She was strangling him.
She was strangling him. And she said, please, daddy, deal with a bee. So this pastor said, what I did was quite strange, because while the bee was hovering around, I took my hands and made sure that I put the bee into my hands. And when I got the bee into my hands, the bee stung me.
That's what I'm thinking.
But when the bee stung me, I let the bee go. And that bee was still around, but she was still afraid. And he turned and told her daughter,
I can't sting you anymore.
Come on, somebody. This bee can't sting you anymore. And I've come to tell somebody, Christ has taken the sting of death. And so death has no dominion, has no power over your life as a Christian. Let me tell you, death is a change of address for any Christian. And I've come to share with you that there is victory. There is victory in Christ Jesus. That's why he said, anyone who believes in me, though he died, shall live again. John 11:25. And so that's why I've come to tell you, brother, stand firm. I don't know what you're going through. Sister, stand firm. At a week of adversity that you're going through, please stand firm. So as every good Baptist, let me give you three F's which can help you to stand firm. So number one, I've given you the first: stand firm in your belief. Stand firm in your belief. Stand firm in what the Word of God communicates to us, stand firm in the gospel that you've heard.
Amen.
This gospel that you've heard, and this validates the preaching. This validates the word that have been inscribed in scripture.
Amen.
Stand firm to everything written in the Bible. Stand firm. Mm. Stand firm that God loves you. Stand firm that he died for you through his son Jesus Christ.
Come
stand
on.
Firm that indeed Christ rose from the grave. Stand firm that he ascended. Stand firm that he's coming back for you.
Amen.
Stand firm to this truth. Stand firm. Stand firm in the midst of everything. Stand firm in the very belief and the foundation of your faith. But number two, he doesn't only say stand firm. If you read the A part of verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, stand firm. But he says also, be immovable. Okay, the second is, if you stand firm, which is my first F, stand firm. The second is stay focused.
All right.
Stay focused. And I'm saying stay focused here because the reality is that some people might stand firm, but they might not stay focused.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
it might be easy to actually shake them.
It might be easy to shake them because this is Peter walking on water, and his gaze is on Jesus. His focus is on Jesus. But when he gets the storm coming, he removes his gaze from Jesus. And I want to tell you that in the midst of this Christian journey, there will be storms. I've come to tell you, stay focused.
Mm.
Stay focused on Christ. Please stay focused. Despite the very challenges of your life, stay focused. Because we're looking unto Jesus. The Bible says he is the author and the finisher. I've got a lady preacher here. The author and the finisher of our faith. Because the reality is that your neighbors might have something that might distract you, but please don't look at that car. Stay focused because Christ has a plan for your life. Your neighbors might just be living a lavish life and you might be comparing yourself to them, but you don't know their source of income. Please stay focused on Jesus Christ because he has a better plan for your life, and you just might not know where she got that money to buy that very expensive shoe. I pray she got it on the right, from the right source, but please never you get into a place where you envy what she's putting on, because stay focused. Christ has something much more better for you. Some of your classmates might have just gone ahead and they've gotten jobs, and you see them so much in success space, and you're asking yourself, but what's happening with my life? Please, I've come to tell you, stay focus. Let your gaze be on Jesus. Because definitely the Bible says the plans he has for you are plans of good and not of evil, to bring you hope and a future. And so I've come to encourage somebody, stay focused. Stay so much focused. You know, we live in a life where we get so distracted by the very circumstances that surround us, by the very situations that surround us as well. And my prayer this day is that you don't only stand firm, but that you stay focused.
Come on.
But let me give you the third point to summarize our very topic today. So stand firm, number one, stay focused. But number three, stay fully committed. Stay fully committed. If you read the very last part, it says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. And, you know, I inadvertently started with the last part because I've come to encourage somebody, stay fully committed.
Okay.
Stay fully committed because you're going to church is not to please the pastor. Oh, come on, I want to tell somebody, if you're going to church, please, I know somebody has discouraged you in church, please, don't get discouraged, because, look, you're not going to church because of somebody, you're not going to church because of the pastor. You're going to church because of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And thanks be to God that we have blessed, you know, servants of God and brothers and sisters in the Lord on Sundays. But some of them step on our toes. I don't know to whom I'm preaching. Some of them step on our toes, and sometimes we have difficulties even relating with men of God. But I've come to tell you, because they never said they will build your church, because it's not their church. Am I communicating to somebody? It's not their church. Jesus Christ is the one who said, I will build
my church,
and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so I'm encouraging somebody, stay fully committed to the work of God. And you asking yourself, but Father, what's happening? I'm fully committed in my giving. I'm fully committed in my service. I'm fully committed in teaching Sunday school. In fact, I'm fully committed in giving resources for the church to use, but I seem to be so much neglected, rejected, and abused.
Overlooked,
undermined. But I've come to tell you, stay fully committed, because your labor is not in vain. God sees what you're doing, and God will reward you in due time. And that's why the Bible says, do not give up in doing good. In due season, I don't know, but I believe there is a due season for each and every one. There is a due season. And that's what happened with this friend I talked of. He committed to just clean up the church for 1 year, and he never did it for man. He did it for Christ. Please do it for God. If you're going to your job site, fully commit yourself to do it, like the guy who cleaned the street in New York, and he cleaned it for Jesus, and he believed that one day Christ will walk on his street.
Come on.
Am I talking to somebody at your job site? Please do it for Jesus. Do it with excellence. Do it with excellence, because excellence is a signature of God at your job. Please do it so that people will know that this is a child of God. You are not doing it to please men. You're doing it for the glory of God. And God will reward you.
Leave the applause of the people.
In due season. So I want to believe that God has a timetable of visitation for every one of us. Maybe your hour is near. And you were just about giving up not to teach that Sunday school. You were just about giving up not to go to church again. But maybe just the few days and weeks or months ahead, God wants to compensate your level of love. Don't give up. Don't give up. Be strong. Let me pray for someone. Father, I pray for my brother, my sister, to stand firm. Stand firm by the very strength of evidence that we have in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and the strength of arguments that buttress the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Father, you're encouraging us. If you know this truth, stand firm. Father, I pray that my sister will stand firm, my brother will stand firm, but not only stand firm, they will stay focused. Stay focused, oh God. They will not be distracted, oh God, by the very things that distract the young people nowadays, by the very things that distract us, oh God, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Father, help us to stay focused. But above everything, help us to be fully committed to the work that you've entrusted us with, so that when we meet you, we will hear these words, well done.
Amen.
Well done.
Yes, Lord.
Well done, good and faithful servants. Father, bless your people. Bless your people. For there is a reward that awaits us if we do not give up. Bless your people this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Jay, thank you so much. I am ministered to so much, as always, but I think today was quite different as well. Really, really, truly am blessed. You know, oftentimes we do make the mistake of shifting our focus. You know, you know exactly, you know your why, you know why you started. But along the way, you get caught up and swallowed in all the voices. And you end up shifting the focus to the people. What are they saying? Are they recognizing? Meanwhile, they never called you to begin with.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So thank you.
Permit
so
me
much.
To give my number. I think
yes,
just
please.
1 minute.
Yes, please.
I had some people who wanted to call.
Yes,
so let
please.
Me give my number. It's 067-154-0694. I repeat it again. 067-154-0694. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life Explained.
Enjoy a cup of coffee and catch up on your favorite program. Download our podcasts on radiopulpit.co.za.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.